Blog Talk Radio.
Christians should support the Christian community. Christians have solutions to Christian problems. A lot of us are supporting the secular source before we're willing to pay a Christian source. Worse, many Christians sometimes make a conscious decision to support the secular person because they feel the Christian solution should be free. I'm encouraging you today to make a conscious decision to seek a biblical and Christian answer to your solution. You have tuned in to Debt Free Wealth Radio with Trudy Behrman. Thank you for taking me along with you on your mobile device, the web, or through my syndicated outlets. I bring you topics, programs, and products geared to move the Christian income earner to become a profitable steward who enjoys debt free wealth, because prosperity is not entitled, but it is within reach. Today's topic is pay the Christian. Your result is a cash exchange away. Pay the Christian. Your result is a cash exchange away. Christian leaders across the globe have a common problem, and that problem is money. For many, there's not enough of it, while some are perceived as having too much. Some are not paid enough, while some get paid higher than top CEOs. Some raise more than is needed for the project, while some can't raise enough. Some shouldn't charge for the operation at hand, while some charge too much. Some are afraid to ask for money, while some seem to ask way too often. You get the picture. Money and Christianity have been an issue within the church and for the outsiders looking in. In my own life, I saw my father leave a top spot with Mead Johnson Pharmaceuticals for a full-time Christian mission. This same man, who had no problem asking for and expecting salary increases, now had a huge personal problem asking for and receiving a survival compensation from the mission field. I've also observed my brother maintain a full-time job to finance his life so that he can do another 40-plus hours to maintain the running of a church that can hardly afford to even pay him a part-time income. In my own consultations, I have had people expect assistance without expecting to pay. Discussing a fee seems to draw an expression of surprise from them because they assume that wearing a Christian label is some badge that translates to free in every language. I started a Christian magazine called Christian Tent Makers, which is kind of touching along this same topic in more depth. But for today's show, once again, the topic is pay the Christian. Your result is a cash exchange away. You see, so many people use the example of Jesus being poor while he was on earth as some example that Christians should be poor. Again, the fact that Paul, the apostle, was a tent maker supporting his own ministry to the Gentile world is somehow some indication that Christians are supposed to self-finance their mission to the world. I want to just draw your attention to the corrective measure of those two examples that people seem to ignore. The paradise of Genesis, that is displayed in the chapters of Genesis, versus our current condition is a result of us exchanging our perfection for the inferior substitute. People forget that Jesus came into our condition to restore us to our rightful place. So let me clear this up right now, guys. Pay the Christian. It is a fallacy that Christianity and Christian service equals free. Many of you may not realize it, but this writing prompt today and for many of my blogs comes from inspiration out of my morning Bible study, as such was the case this morning. In reading from 1 Samuel 9, the verse in chapter 8, and the verse number 8 caught my attention. 1 Samuel 9, verse 8 says, "The servant answered Saul again, 'Here, I have with me a quarter of a shekel of silver, and I will give it to the man of God to tell us our way.'" Now, you need to read the whole chapter of 1 Samuel 9 to get the context, but here's the backdrop to that verse. So the focus verse for today was 1 Samuel 9:8. The servant answered Saul again, "Here I have with me a quarter of a shekel of silver, and I will give it to the man of God to tell us our way." So here's the backdrop. Verses 5 through 7 says, "When they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, 'Come, let us go back, lest my father cease to care about the donkeys and become anxious about him.' But the servant said to him, 'Behold, there is a man of God in this city, and he is a man who is held in honor. All that he says comes true. So let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us the way we should go.' Then Saul said to his servant, 'But if we go back, what can we bring this man? For the bread in our sacks is gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have?' The servant answered Saul again, 'Here, I have with me a quarter of a shekel of silver, and I will give it to the man of God to tell us our way.'" Now, this is just a segment of the story, guys. I do encourage you to read the whole chapter. Fact: money will always be exchanged for something perceived to be more valuable. Money will always be exchanged for something perceived to be more valuable. Now, I have 10 points that I really want to raise real quick, and they all come out of this short segment. I know sometimes you wonder how, but I get so much business teaching out of the Bible, guys. It's incredible. Here in this little section, Saul wanted information to guide his steps. You see, if you read the whole chapter, you'd understand that Saul had already tried winging it. He tried the DIY approach. He had been searching for his donkeys for days, and he had no luck. And he was looking for the donkeys because they were an important family asset. But for the time that he had been trying it on his own, he wasn't getting any results. And at this point in time, Saul's safety was far more valuable than the condition of his donkeys, and he knew his father would be more worried about him, about his son, than about the condition of the lost donkeys. So Saul realized that his efforts were not bringing a result, and his time was way more valuable. And now he was at a point in his life where he was willing to pay for the information that he needed to speed up his progress to acquire the result that he wanted. His other option was to quit and go back home empty-handed. So here are some noteworthy business applications coming out of this story. I know a lot of you read the Bible and don't see it, but thank God he has given me the discernment to pick up these things. Guys, I've written the book, The Bible on Business. Please go check it out. It's actually being relaunched shortly, so there are limited availability of that book right now, The Bible on Business, but this is the kind of stuff that's in that book. So here again, some noteworthy business applications coming right out of this story. Number one, Saul was on a mission, but his strategy up to this point was DIY. He was doing it himself. He was winging it. He was trying it on his own. Number two, the DIY approach was not bringing Saul the result that he desired. Number three, his efforts were unprofitable for so long that his family was now becoming concerned. Is this sounding familiar to a lot of you? A lot of you are involved in events, in business opportunities, in business attempts that are going unprofitable for so long that you're now creating concern for your family. Number four, Saul's last option was either to quit or to get help. Number five, Saul realized he had a problem he could not solve on his own. Number six, Saul was willing to pay for his solution. Number seven, Saul's problem was urgent and time-bound. Number eight, the man of God in the city had the solution to Saul's problem. Number nine, in this moment of the story, we see that Saul had a cash flow problem. He did not have a personal flow of cash. And number 10, Saul borrowed the money he needed from a resource who knows very well his ability to repay that debt at a later date. 10 business nuggets coming out of this. I don't know, when you read it again, see if they don't become very clear to you if they weren't clear to you before. So this particular show today, and if you're on my blog post, guys, I do encourage you to read my blog, which has the text version for the most part of this content. So, and if I have links, they will all be clickable over at trudybearman.com. Click on the blog tab. So this today is going to be an important show because, guys, honestly, a lot that's coming out here is very relevant to what a lot of us are going through today. I want to, for right now, though, just to set the foundation that the Christian community should seek and support Christian and biblical solutions to their problems. They do exist. They do exist. Too many Christians would rather pay a secular source before they look for or pay a Christian source. Worse, Christians do not make a conscious decision to seek a biblical or Christian answer to their solution, and that is very sad. I say it often, and I'm going to say it again today. The Bible is a practical guide to success and is as relevant as today's news. Christian entrepreneurs are in the problem-solving business, or we should be. Just like our secular peers, we come to the marketplace with offers that solve someone's problem. Just like our secular peers, we have operating costs and living costs that the business needs to finance. If you're working to run a profitable operation, as any profitable steward should, of course it doesn't happen overnight, but it should be your goal, it should be where you're heading, then beyond break even, the Christian entrepreneur should be delivering value that deserves profitable compensation. And I challenge Christian income earners not only to support your Christian brothers and sisters first, but also to not expect that top-level service for free or for a discount just because the provider is Christian. You're willing to pay the secular people, no questions asked. Why not pay the Christian? In 2016, I continue to be surprised that some people think that because a company or leader is Christian means their service and product should be offered for free. And if you read Samuel 1, 9, verse 7, you'll see that Saul couldn't even imagine asking the man of God for this valuable information that would immediately impact his results without offering a value exchange and compensation. So why is it in the 21st century that people, Christians, believe that a Christian service or product should be free? Information can be sold the same way that products and services are sold. And information is often sold in the form of books, video, audio, live stream, face-to-face consultations, and more. Saul needed information. He needed it fast. And he knew the information, if he got it, would save him time and bring him the desired result he needed faster than if he kept that money in his pocket and continued to try and figure things out on his own, okay? Sometimes, guys, that money in your pocket is not worth more than the thing you're going to exchange it for. Money will always be exchanged for something that is perceived to be of more value. That gum you just bought is worth more to you than the dollar you paid for it. That's why you bought it. In my business as a stewardship consultation, this is what I do to earn my primary income. I offer time-saving, results-oriented information, for the most part information. I do have products and services as well, that moves the Christian income earner to become a profitable steward who enjoys debt-free wealth, being able to give generously to the things that move their heart. Now, a lot of my information is given away for free, but some of my information is behind a paid gateway. If Saul continued doing what he was doing, he would eventually have to quit his mission and return home empty-handed. So he decided that he needed to pay, and he was willing to pay, because a lot of us are at the point where we are spinning our wheels. We are working hard, but we're not producing the results. And we're going to the point where quitting our mission may even seem like better than continuing in the direction that we're going. But for some of us, quitting should not necessarily be the answer. Maybe what you've been missing is leveraged help, maybe in the form of a coach, a consultant, a new tool, a new piece of software, something, guys, because I have seen so many people get their production increased just by simply exchanging some money for a piece of equipment. Honestly, quitting is not always the first and best answer. When you recognize that you need help, I'm going to challenge you to seek a Christian solution. Sometimes those with a relationship with God have not just a secular answer, but also that God-given wisdom and discernment as a bonus. And if you are willing to pay the secular option, you should be equally happy to pay the man or woman of God who also offers that solution. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to look for Christian resources first whenever possible. Your solution will always be worth more to you than the money you pay for it, or it should. Let me say that again. Your solution will always be worth more to you than the money you pay for it. This is what value-based businesses is all about, and the more profitable ventures often over-deliver in the value arena. Again, money will always be exchanged for something of perceived higher value. You see, this is the reason why people think a sale feels so awesome, because at that moment, the reduced price you're paying, the buyer perceives that they got more in value than the price that they think the thing deserves. But when you pay what you think is fair, that's the absolute minimum, because anytime you pay more than what you think is fair, you begin to think you've just been ripped off. So the profitable steward will always deliver high value, higher than the price paid. And if you're not sure how to deliver value in this way, this is part of what you learn if you join into a consultation with me. So I have three immediate action steps for you if you're listening in. One, I want you to check back if you are reading on the blog post, because this blog post will continue to talk about the next part of this series, which focuses on the debt portion. Because if you remember, Saul borrowed the money that he needed to finance this particular venture, this portion of his venture. There is a time when debt is appropriate, even when you are on a debt-free wealth agenda. Number two, if you're spinning your wheels and going nowhere fast, you need to fix that right now. Connect with me for an initial, no charge to you, 30-minute value pack clarity session. Guys, nobody works for free, but this is going to be a free 30-minute session to help establish if this is a right and mutual fit for us to continue the relationship into the future. And third, last but not least, go buy my book, The Bible on Business, and get 40 days of business application to familiar Bible content right at your fingertips. So join me next week, guys. This is not done. We're going to pick up where I left off here today, and we're going to focus on points 9 and 10, okay, because I kind of went through 1 through 8 here today. So let me read them over again. In this section, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we realize the business applications were, one, Saul was on a mission, but his strategy was do it yourself, and he wasn't doing very well at that. Number two, the DIY approach was not bringing Saul the results he desired. Number three, his efforts weren't profitable for so long that his family was now getting concerned. Number four, Saul's option at this point was to quit or get help. Number five, Saul realized he had a problem that he could not solve on his own. You need to actually realize it, guys. Some of you just don't realize it. You just simply quit. Number six, Saul was willing to pay for the solution that he needed. Number seven, Saul's problem was urgent and time-bound. Number eight, the man of God had the solution to his problem. And 9 and 10 is where we're going to pick up next week, because in the moment that Saul realized there was a solution to his problem, and that he was not going to go ask that man of God to give it to him for free, he needed to pay the man something, he also realized he had a cash flow problem. So number nine was, Saul realized he had a cash flow problem. He did not have a flow of cash. And number 10, he borrowed the money he needed from a source that was very much aware of Saul's ability to repay the debt at some time later. Guys, I'm always talking about debt-free wealth, which for a long time people just zeroed in on the debt-free part. But honestly, guys, the Bible does make an accommodation for debt in a more healthy way. There are ways to do it, the first and foremost of which is will be talked about in the show coming up next week. So I hope you will join me next week. And if you're reading my blog post, look for the next link to the follow-up to this post today. Trudy Behrman here saying thank you all for joining me on Debt-Free Wealth Radio. I absolutely am easy to find at trudybehrman.com, and I do look forward to connecting with you.